where the viaduct looms like a bird of doom as it shifts and cracks, where secrets lie in the border fires and the humming wires. Yeah, man, you know you're never coming back. Across the square, across the bridge, past the mills, past the stacks. On a gathering storm comes a tall, handsome man in a dusty black coat with a red right hand.
Hey everybody, welcome to Scaredy Cats. I'm your humble, gracious, and sexy co-host, Daniel Hummer. I'm here with my sister, Mindy.
Hi, guys.
The new Scream has finally came out. You could call it Scream 5. They're just calling it Scream for some reason. We checked it out on Friday, and we're excited to bring you the review for it. This is going to be a spoiler review. If you haven't seen the movie, don't listen to this, but unless you want to know what's going on, because this is going to be spoiler heavy. Before we get into it, let's get to a couple plugs. Make sure to check out the Dirt Sheet Dudes every Wednesday and Saturday after AEW on Wednesday and Saturday at like 7 or 8 for their Hollywood Hangout. Make sure to check us at 6:30 for the Unscripted Wrestling Podcast, the hottest wrestling show in the world. And then our second show, Unscripted Unlimited, we just reviewed the animated film Justice League War, so there's a lot of good stuff going on there. And then, of course, here at between 1 to 3 or whenever we can do it on Sunday for Scaredy Cat. That's about it. Make sure to check out Sneaky Fetty on Twitch and Elite Diplodoc on YouTube for our buddy Sean. And let's get into it.
All right.
So, we've been waiting for this movie for a very long time, Mindy. What was your
11 years. There were things that I liked, there were things that I loved, and then there were things where I was just cringing a little bit.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, Scream, they've done this before. But unfortunately, they did it again with this one, and I didn't really like it. But what they did was Sydney had come back into town, and Billy Loomis's daughter had come back into town. And it wasn't even explained how he ended up having a kid. I guess he probably cheated on Sydney, and the girl left school or something. I don't know. But it's weird to me. But the weirdest thing, guys, is that when she walks up to them, she doesn't say, the only thing she says to Sydney is that she knows her. Then Sydney replies, "You're Billy Loomis's daughter." How does she know that? Like, even if she did know that Billy had a daughter, and even if she did know that Billy had a daughter that would be around in her 20s and whatnot, how would she know what she looked like? She wouldn't know.
Right.
So, that to me, that was just a crock of shit. I don't like stuff like that. I mean, I also don't like what we're going to discuss at the end, but I'm not going to give it away just yet.
Yeah, I think this movie had a lot going for it, though. It's already made $30 million in the box office against a $24 million budget. It's been the first movie to dethrone Spider-Man so far at number one. Spider-Man's been out for almost a month now, but no movie's been able to top it. It's been making a lot of money. This is the first movie to do so far. The theater was pretty
packed. Well, this movie's also been done. I'm sorry to cut you off, but this movie has also been done since 2019.
Yeah.
They didn't do post-production until earlier this year, but...
A lot of people didn't know if it would do well, though, and it is, so that's a good thing. It's always good when these movies do well. And critically, it's doing... We pretty much have similar opinions to a lot of the reviews. I think it's a kind of a love letter to the Scream franchise, and I think it's the best writing in the series since the first one. The meta shit does not come across as corny to me. And I think they do it really well. It's like the smartest movie so far out of the sequels. Two was really good, but it even fell into some tropes itself. This one really kind of got itself out of those and was really smart and really written well. One of my, of course, my negatives, the 20-year negatives, I did not feel scared by the movie whatsoever. It did not feel like a scary movie to me. I know it's horror, but the kills were cool. It was gory. I think there was a lot of upside, but, you know,
they
thrilling
focused
the audience.
Too much on the carnage is what happened.
I liked it, though. I liked that this was the most brutal Ghostface, because it is. He's stabbing motherfuckers 25, 30 times, and I'm fine with that. I think that's good to kind of bring in the new millennium. Now that you're, because back in the day, you remember how hard it was for Wes to get Scream 1 off the ground with the MPA and the rating system and stuff. He was working his ass off not to get a N-17 or whatever the hell it's called.
That NC-17, that actually happened with all three movies.
So there you go. And now we're at the era where you can put a knife through a guy's throat out his cheekbone and no one blinks an eye. And it's just rated R. So they've really taken advantage of the times and able to make Ghostface seems the most menacing he's ever been here.
I will definitely agree with you, especially the knife to the hand. Like that he was very quick. And don't get me wrong. Ghostface has always been quick. He's not a Jason. He's not a Freddy. He doesn't really stalk his victims. I don't know if you would agree, but he doesn't really, like, slowly
stalk
them. He runs.
Yeah, he runs.
Like, almost every time. But I will have to say, this guy was a lot more athletic.
He was athletic, and it was more carnage-based, and it wasn't a Halloween Kills to where he's killing too many people, because I didn't think it was overdone, but I think the way he was killing them, the slow shots and the way it was directed, it was way gorier than we're usually used to a stab in the stomach or a couple stabs, and they get inventive sometimes, but this, as much as it is about killing people, it's not really about the gory kills like you would get from a Friday the 13th or a Halloween, but this one really upped it up when it comes to that. And I was fine with that. I thought that was a nice touch to the movie.
Yeah, I think that was actually pretty cool. And I think if they didn't do something like that, it might not have made sense.
And even as convoluted as Sam can come across, I like how the whole ending with the you don't fuck with the serial killer's daughter and she stabs the shit out of the boyfriend. I thought that was really well done. And she was really well done. Yeah.
Especially because the thing that she stabbed him with was a pointy umbrella.
Yeah.
And if you don't, which I'm sure you remember, but that's what Sydney had taken her father out with.
Yeah.
I mean, she didn't, like, take him out with that particular move, but she did get him to stop for a minute. So I thought that was pretty cool. That was kind of a little homage to the first one. I will have to say, as much as the Billy being the good guy kind of thing annoys me, I'm really glad that they just did Billy and they didn't do like the other killers.
Yeah,
you know, because they honestly could have. But I'm really glad that they just decided to go with one.
I mean, if you're going to do any one, you do the best one and the one that has that kind of entwined with Sydney's story, too. So, because even though you didn't like the way it went together, and I think it was sloppy, too, it did make sense once it was together. And once everyone was around each other, it's like, all right, it makes sense for Gail and Sydney to be here. I never thought when they were there, like, oh, they shouldn't be here. It seemed like it made sense.
And I completely agree. What I'm talking about, though, is, like, at the end when she was looking in the puddle and he was right behind her and he, like, winked and nodded his head at her, like, good job.
Yeah.
He is not a good guy. Why are you portraying him as a good guy?
Yeah, I think it's more her overcoming her shit and her being a good
guy. It might have been a metaphor to her overcoming her fear because she was very afraid that she was going to end up like him.
Yeah, And the whole movie teased that it was going to be in a bad way and she would be the heel. So the fact that they kind of did that 180 was kind of, it seemed on purpose on the movie's side, was that they wanted.
I get that now.
I will say this does scream justice with the comedic relief, and none of it seems corny or untimed. I was laughing pretty consistently throughout the movie. Mindy was great. She was a nice Randy character, and you know, as his niece, I like the nephew too. He was great too, but Mindy was awesome.
Mindy was a female Randy, whereas her brother was more of a jock.
Yeah, but I think
he was
Mindy
more
worked
of a ladies' man.
Yeah, he was definitely more of a ladies' man, but I think Mindy worked for a couple reasons, and one of those was she doesn't come – a lot of those types, besides Randy, she comes across a little more cool. Yes, she's the knowledge and the know-it-all, and she knows everything, and it can be a bit like, all right, you're a know-it-all, but she, like, the way – not even just her, you know, swinging for the other team, but the way she, like, calls the girl over at the end, and she's like, you're coming over here. And then at the end, she's like, goodbye. She gives her a little wave. Like, she's just a little badass, too. And the way she, even with the killer, Amber, downstairs, and she scares her. She scares the killer before we even know that she's Amber's the killer. And Mindy's like, maybe I'm the killer. And she's like, well, I'm actually not. But so there was a lot of things that went in that character that I think made her a low-key badass, too. And I think it worked on a couple of different levels.
Absolutely. But I got to say, they kind of took Randy from Scream 2 and put her in his place, basically, in this one, it seems like, because of, and I know you're going to agree with this, the monologue that
yeah.
she did when they were all in a group, and she starts
yeah.
talking about who would die and why and the rules and stuff, and her brother's like, hey, Mindy, stop.
Yeah. But that's a
I found that absolutely hilarious.
It's a tricky character to do, too, because she's an exposition machine. She's there to give the audience, you know, all the basically knowledge and info that comes into the series, which is, you know, five films deep at this point. So that's kind of a hard – so I think they did a good job with the character that she still remained likable and kind of cool, even though she's just there to kind of give you information on what's going on.
Yeah, I do agree with that because she very well could have been a nerd.
Yeah.
Or an outcast.
Yeah.
Or something. Like, it would seem that she would have something like that going on, but she didn't, and it worked.
Yeah. I thought,
like she said, she just loved the movies.
She did. And you can tell, and I think the homage of Don't Look Behind You to Randy in the first one, or Look Behind You and Screams Behind Her, I thought that was a good scene. And then because she was like, you look behind you, you idiot. And then she just, like, you see the light bulb go off in her head, and she's like, oh, my God. And then she looked behind her, and it's like, oh. And it seems like kind of a weird scene, but it made sense to the character. And they built the character enough to make it work when they did it.
Yeah. Guys, I have a confession to make. Your greatest co-host in history, myself. I cried.
Yeah, when Dewey dies.
I couldn't help it. Dewey died. It was a very emotional scene from him saving. Okay, so we're going to break it down for you guys real quick because we already told you there's going to be spoilers. So this is a huge spoiler. The kids, Billy Loomis's daughter, her boyfriend, and then her sister, who are all being attacked by Ghostface and don't know why. They go to Dewey's house, and they try to get Dewey to help them. Now, Dewey, at this point, he's callous. He's a drunk. He's an ex-sheriff. He's mad at the world. His best friend and his lover, he's divorced from her now, and she lives in New York. The only time she gets to see her is on the TV. So, like, and he did that very, very well. I will have to tip my hat to Mr. Arquette. He did really, really good because that's a really hard role for him to do because he's such a goofball. So, but anyways, basically – he ended up going with the kids because he had a change of heart. And when he went with them, he was kicking ass. Daniel, you can even back me up on this. He was kicking ass.
Right.
Like, he was kicking ass and taking names. And he ended up knocking out Ghostface because he shot him a few different times, and then Ghostface fell and got hit on the head. And they all go back to the car, and he goes to get back in the car, but he leaves his phone in the car instead, and he goes, I got to go back. And they were like, wait a minute, what? What are you doing? We got to go to the police. And he was like, no, I didn't shoot him in the head. He's not going to die if I don't shoot him in the head. I got to go. And that was a little homage to Randy.
Yeah. It wasn't that elevated, was but yeah.
What he said. Because that's what he said in the third one and the videotape.
And then the elevator shuts on his face. And that's when I looked at you and I was like, he's going to die now. I was like, it's over. Once the elevator shut on his face, I knew that he was going back there and it wasn't going to go the way. And then, of course, he goes to aim the gun at the guy's face, and Gail calls him, and he looks for a second and he gets stabbed. And the way this man gets stabbed, oh my God, they fucked Dewey up.
It was about 13.
Well, he rose up, too. It was two simple stabs to the gut and the back, and then he just kind of kept going up and dragging it up his body, and it was fucking ruthless.
Oh, yeah, I was thinking of a different one. You are right. What he did was he finished the jobs that Mrs. Loomis did in the second one.
Yeah. Because
that's how they tried to take him out in the second one.
But it worked here, and... I agree with what you said about Amber and the reveal. I think out of the two reveals, which is hard when you have two killers, one reveal really worked. I think the boyfriend really worked. I enjoyed that reveal. I thought it was great. Amber was a little harder because you kind of had that suspect. We've seen her in other shit. We know she's creepy. The overcaring friend, it all made sense. But her as an actual killer and her movement, and she confirmed because she told Gail, I was the last thing Dewey ever saw. So we know that she was the person here. Her movements, and I know it's not the same actor probably, it's probably a stuntman, but still. I liked her as a killer, and she had that ruthless, like, mindset. And even at the end when they did the reveal, I liked the duo and their motives and the way they were acting. I thought this was a very good two murderers to have here.
And she was psychotic. I mean, I remember when she had taken off the Ghostface mask and whatnot, and she had a knife, and she cleaned that shit with her bare hands.
Yeah. And just the way she was waving it in Gail's face.
Wink an eye.
Yeah. She did not give a fuck.
This girl was psychotic.
So her reveal probably wasn't the – even though I liked how the one girl's like, I'm not the killer. She's like, I know, and she shoots her in the head. You might have saw that coming, but I'm fine in these movies with one being kind of a gimme and one being like, holy shit. Because even though we kind of had in the basement, you started to realize it might be the boyfriend. And the way his behavior the whole movie, I really did not think it could be him. I thought he was too much of a goofball. And I think the movie did a really good job of showing us why it could not be him. So I was very surprised, and I was like, damn, this is pretty good. And it was right in front of my face the whole time. They did it in a good way. I thought Amber was a little bit of a gimme, and that was a little easier to call. But I was fine with the end and how everything played out and her getting burnt alive and them talking about passing the torch and shit. I thought all that shit was cool.
Mm-hmm. I will have to say, as these movies get older, they did become a tad more witty.
Yeah. This one especially. Because,
like, in the fourth one, they were like, Gail's like, I have one last request. I need to say something. And she's like, what? And she's like, clear. And then Sydney hit her with the paddles.
Yeah.
So. They're getting wittier and wittier each time.
No, absolutely. I thought it was really well done. I really liked Richie as a bad guy and a killer because he was so likable throughout the whole movie. So I thought that switch, and I think he really does go down there with the Billies and the Stews and the Mickeys as one of the better killers. Amber's a little more underwhelming, but I liked her actions once we found out she was the killer. Before that, not really. But Richie had me throughout the whole movie. He was one of my favorite characters, which is something that, like, Mickey did and Stu did. So I thought that was special.
Yeah. He's definitely a Mickey.
Yeah, because I really had to – he had me, even in the basement, when you kind of figured out, I thought it could be still Sam. But he fucking – he had me convinced it could be Tara. He even had me convinced that. So he was just so damn good. And then that final reveal when he stabs her in the stomach. The only – one of the only critiques I will give this movie besides the not being scary, I didn't. Besides that, I think once you took care of Amber a little too early with the stove. I know she pops out at the end, but she looks like Two-Face and she's half burnt. Doesn't really matter. I think you took her out a little too early because at this point, you know, we know that Mindy Meeks is probably alive. We think the brother's pretty much dead because he got stabbed like 10 times. I was like, holy shit, when I found out he was alive because I thought he was done. But you know she's alive. You know Tara's alive. You know Sam's alive. And Sydney and Gail are okay. They're obviously still kicking. They just burned a bitch alive. It was a little hard for me to get invested and think, well, Richie's going to kill a couple more. I knew this was kind of the end and he was going to get outnumbered and beat. Even though it wasn't really outnumbered, Sam just beat him. But at that point in the movie, I was like, he's not going to kill anybody else. It's like 5-1. You know, it kind of took believability away when you have so many.
But she went like Tommy Jarvis on his ass.
She fucked that motherfucker up. You do
with
not fuck
little
with
Tommy
dude,
Jarvis.
Yep.
Like, she cool. Like, she had a fire lit under her ass.
Yeah. And I thought this movie did a really good job of setting her up as the new final girl. You do not – I mean, you left a lot of people for a horror movie, but I like that because you can have Gail and Cindy walking in the sunset now. That's what I wanted from this franchise. You do not – you can do a sequel. I would go and watch a sequel. Don't bring Cindy back. Let her leave now and let her have her moment, and that was great.
Yeah, Sydney and Gail's chapter needs to close.
Yeah, and that's fine with that. Dewey left. She's going to write a book about Dewey. Sydney would like to read that story. It was nice and well. She's got a husband and kids. She's got her own life. Let her go do that. Let's focus on Sam now because Sam's interesting. And her little sister, Tara, which is also interesting. And seeing what happens to them. Because now, you know, they might come after them. And the Meeks are still alive. So now you have a good cast to build sequels with that aren't Sydney and Gail and Dewey, the Trinity. You can do other shit. So do
and I
that
feel like they did that on purpose.
Yeah, and usually that's done to effective different degrees. I wasn't totally sold on the granddaughter and Halloween Kills of being the next Jamie Lee Curtis. But Sam, I think she's totally game. She can be the next Sydney. She's a badass young woman. Sam and Tara, I'm excited to see what happens next in their future.
Yeah. I am too, and I can definitely tell everybody that since they're doing so good just on their opening weekend alone, there's going to be another one.
Yeah.
Because that's what they said from the get-go when they did their very first interview about it coming out. They said, well, if it does higher than the budget within the first couple of days, we're going to end up doing another one.
Yeah. I mean, making money is usually good for these things for getting sequels. And this did, if it did anything, it made some money. And it's, I mean,
yeah.
It beat Spider-Man. So it's at its fourth week, but it's still, it's number one right now.
Yeah, it's really impressive. That's really impressive, actually. I don't think that's ever happened with any of them. Maybe the first one.
We cannot end this before I talk about two of the best lines in the movie. One, poor Deputy Hicks, and Dylan Minnette, who's probably the biggest in stature actor here, popularity-wise, because of his work on 13 Reasons Why and some other horror movies. He gets disposed of pretty early as the son of Sheriff Hicks, and he gets one of
yeah,
the most...
Yeah, but it is so great.
He's my top kill in the movie. That was kind of the segue, because that stab through the neck out the cheekbone was just fucking... awesome. And the way they did the close-up, and it was so gory, and he's like watching him do it and trying to stop the knife. So well done. But the line that she gives in the car when he's like, what's your favorite scary movie? And she's like, I prefer animated films and musicals. It really brought home the comedy in the movie, and I thought it was hilarious.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would definitely agree with that. As far as my favorite kill, I would have to... I mean, I don't know. A lot of it was really... all of the kills were really good. I will have to say. There wasn't one where I could be like, oh, well, that could have been a little better. I feel like they were all very, very well done. So I just am having a hard time choosing here. But, I mean... I guess I would say instead of my favorite kill, my most emotional kill was Dewey.
Yeah.
That hit my gut the most.
I really liked also, even though he was an underwritten character, that whatever the cousin of Stu or whatever, the one that was like in love with Randy's nephew's girlfriend.
Oh, Stalker Boy.
Yeah, Stalker Boy. With Red Right Hand, because this is an ultimate homage to Scream. Even though it's not, like, maybe scary if you're a scary movie fan, if you love this franchise like we do and you came up on this, you will watch this and be like, ooh, this is, like, it's a love letter. It's like it was written by us. It's for the fans, and it doesn't feel like fan service and corny. And, like, when Red Right Hand is playing in our intro, by the way, a remix of it, but still our intro, is playing in this dude's car, and then he gets a quick stab to the throat. It's nothing crazy. It's probably the least stabs a Ghostface has done in this movie because he's stabbing people like 30 times. It was a quick stab to the throat. The guy bleeds out and dies. But that was cool. And it was done in a different way. And it was just like a quick, like, whoop. like he just like, whoop, and it was done. But another great line in the movie comes from Chad Meeks, who is probably my favorite character, him and Mindy. But he has to go down as one of the first and only people in a horror movie or in life to turn down ass in one of these situations. And his girlfriend, who's been a virgin and they want to take the next step, they're at the party, and she's like, let's go upstairs. And he hits her with, he's like, I'm going to have to pass on that. I'm 90% sure you're not the killer, but there's 10%. He just had me dying. It was hilarious.
Is it? There's just that 10% lingering, and I'm not confident.
And it also was an homage to his uncle's rules about, not having sex, which, obviously Chad probably isn't a virgin like his girlfriend, but it's still like he passed out on cheeks and he gets to live to the end of the movie. So it's a nice little, like, good for him, He went by the rules.
Well, he probably knew that if Ghostface didn't kill him at that point, his sister would.
Yeah.
But he was pretty tough on those rules.
Overall, I think the movie was special. I really liked it. Like I said, it's not the scariest in the series. It's the best written, besides the first one.
Yeah.
The meta shit is done very, very well and not stupid. And they can, because they have the stab universe within the screen, they can say shit like, oh, 25 years ago, without it being corny. They're also talking about their legacy, but they're talking about Stab's legacy too, which they've also created. So it's very smart. It's very well done. I'm giving it an 8 out of 10 because everything that Scream 4 was supposed to be, this was. It was not underwhelming. There was a few things I would have done differently, but as far as I thought this movie wasn't going to be that great, and it was. So I give it an 8.
All right, well, to double on that, I'm going to have to give it a 9, and this is my reasoning. I never really liked Gail as a character. I've never really appreciated her. I've never really seen her side of the story or whatnot. But there's a couple of different times. The first time she did it, she was in a car with Sydney, and she said, Sydney, I'm so sorry. I should have never wrote that book about your mother. And Sydney clapped back with, it's okay, you didn't create the psycho in him. He was already psycho. And then when she said, when Sydney said at the end, well, at least they gave you something to write about. And she's like, no, they're not going to go on in infamy. I'm going to write about Dewey.
Yeah.
I thought that was really heartfelt and very touching, and also kind of a full circle for Gail. You know, she went from being a selfish asshole, basically, to having a heart.
Exactly.
And I really enjoyed that.
I think this movie did her and Sydney pretty, and even Dewey in his own way. And it killed them off in a meaningful way, and it meant something. I think it did all three legacy characters pretty good justice.
Yeah, absolutely. Sydney, oh my God. She's a badass. Every time she comes back, dude.
Yeah.
She needs to stop taking Taekwondo. She's getting scared.
And I like that it's not overly about Sydney like the fourth one is either. You really are invested in Sam's story, but Sydney is good to have around.
Yeah, and like Sydney said, like when they asked her, like, why did you even come? And she said, like, look, I've been through this a lot. If you want to stay alive and, like, hopefully save your sister and your friends, then, like, you're going to have to listen to me. So I thought that was pretty cool because, I mean, if you think about it, the only ones that the OGs had a real tie to were the Minks.
Yeah.
If you catch my drift. Because the way that I see it is that she, like all three of them, I mean, I'm sure Dewey knew all of them from being the sheriff and whatnot. So I'm sure he didn't have a problem and he knew it. But not everybody knew who everyone was. And I think that they did a okay job with quickly introducing everybody and then being like, all right, well, let's get down to brass tacks. Like, this is a Scream movie. So.
Yeah.
And like I said, I enjoyed it. I mean, it could have been my only real critique. Like, my real critique would have to be, guys, that it could have been a little bit more suspenseful.
Yeah.
It didn't even have to be scary. Even if it was just a tad more suspenseful, I think it would have been 10 times better. That is one thing that I miss about Wes Craven. Wes Craven, he doesn't mess around with his soundtracks. And when he normally has to do a score for a movie, he hires an orchestra.
Yeah.
So that's why the music in all three movies, including the Nightmare on Elm Street series and including the People Under the Stairs and the Hills Have Eyes, like, that music was all creepy because he wanted it to be that way.
Right.
So I will have to say that, unfortunately, this one did take a hit as far as the suspensefulness went, but I really enjoyed the story.
No, absolutely. I think the story was one of the strong points. It could have been scarier, but as a whole, I really enjoyed it, and you know, I'm excited to see what's to come next.
Yeah. I mean, we will have to see. Speaking of what's coming next, my dude, what are we doing next week?
You want to do I Know What You Did Last Summer?
Yeah. I haven't seen any of it.
So we'll do that. We'll watch that this week, and we'll talk about it. The first season of I Know What You Did Last Summer. With all that being said, this was awesome, Mindy. It was great we finally got to watch this and talk about it. And we'll see everybody next week.
Okie dokie. Hootie hoo, guys. Have a good night. Have a good week. Bye.